Take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to try to do this in two different ways tonight. We'll see what happens. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through verse 8. And it goes right along with what Dusty just sang about. And as we come to this and we begin to study again, we think about the vanity of selfish toil. And I know that for most of us in the room tonight, we're beyond a lot of this, but we're going to talk about it and see what our world looks at. So let's stand and read God's Word. I'm going to read verses 4 through 8. We're going to go all the way through 16 tonight, so keep your Bibles open. Verse 4 says, "Again I say that all of the toil and every skillful work of a man is envied by his neighbor. This is also vanity and a grasping for the wind. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with a toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and saw vanity under the sun. There is one only without companion. He is neither son nor brother, yet there is no end of all of his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he yet never asks, 'For whom do I toil and deprive myself of good?' This also is vanity and grave misfortune." Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, I pray that we will be with those that we mentioned earlier. I pray for Gerald and Laura as they're going through the surgery tomorrow and being down in the hospital in Dallas, Father. I give you the praise for taking care of Miss June and taking her back to Beacon Hill, Father. Just continue to be with her and heal her body and strengthen her. Father, my aunt and others that are sick and in the hospital, I pray for them and just strengthen lives and guide them and direct them, Father. Be with our church as we're continuing to do the work you've called us to do, that, Father, we would be a lighthouse to this community, that we will teach the truth and present it to the world that they might come and accept you and be a part of your work here in Bells, Father. We thank you for that, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. So as we come to this, we see there that, you know, he sees the toil of all the men and they're envied by the neighbors. You know, how many times do we see that today? Everybody is envious, and our world talks about the, you know, go for the biggest job, the fanciest car, and all of these different things that you've got to keep up with the other people. That's what the world says, but that's really not what God wants us to do. We shouldn't be envious of what others have. That's the thing about it. As Dusty sang in the song, God's love is for us to reach those that are less fortunate, to love those that need loving, to be there to support them and to realize it. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't work, and most of us in this room have put in many years in a field of labor. But we need to think about what we're doing as ministry. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing is ministry. And that's what God is calling you to do. God's called some of you to be school teachers. Some of you He's called to work in a pharmacy. Some of you are retired and you've put in your time. But you still have ministries of taking care of others in your own family or helping them out. And so we need to think about that as we're looking at this. The world is like that. And when we reach for the job, it's all vanity. We're not going to take anything of that with us when we go on. And that's kind of what he talks about, that the fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh, but better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. You know, you just keep trying to make more money, but it doesn't do any good. We've got to realize that we're there for God. That again, he uses this phrase several times in this passage of vanity under the sun. And that we deprive ourselves of good. We're trying to do that. You know, our world talks so much about that and things. You know, my question is kind of like what we talked about this morning. We see a passage like that we're blessed because we believe in Christ, but do we act like we're blessed? Or does we go outside the church, and you know, I hope you don't do it here on Sunday mornings, but sometimes it even creeps into the church where we have prayer time, and it's all about, woe is me. Oh, I've got all of these problems, and it's all about me, rather than, you know, we need to pray for so-and-so. They're going through a difficulty. And then think of what can we do to help that difficulty. You know, it's, again, I share again with the gentleman that came in this morning, and, you know, it's just that you just get a sense that the Spirit's telling you, this man is really hurting. And usually when I see a grown man in that situation, and with the sincereness that he had, we were going to help. No matter what we had to do, we were going to help that gentleman. and things. And, you know, he says he'll repay. I'm not worried about him repaying. But I know that we helped him by doing what we did this morning and things. Again, we've been blessed here at First Baptist that a lot of these that we help, they do give back or things. There's a lot that say they will, and then we'll never see the money. And that's okay because that's up to them. You know, you're telling God a lie. You're not lying to me. That's what I tell them. It's not about me and things. But the fact is that we help a lot of folks through the ministry, and many of you are a part of that's going on. And so I want you to realize that. But my question is, what is your toils here on earth actually producing? And I want us to think about that in the fact of where we're at in our life. For some of us, it's still in the workforce, and we can get so busy with things, and that's where I have trouble as the pastor. I was sitting there, and I always send an email to Sharon to say where I'm going to be, and I told my wife just this afternoon. I said the next 2 days I'm busy. Tomorrow I'm gonna spend the day here, probably working and going to the hospital locally. And trying to get prepared for all the sermons I have this week and all the studying I need to line up for. And then Tuesday, I've got a full day on the road. So Maroon won't be here Tuesday. You know, I've got to go to two or three places. I'll be in Dallas to check on Gerald. I'll try to schedule all of that. But the problem is I can get so tied up in those activities that I miss the ministry. And that's why sometimes you'll see me stop somewhere that doesn't always make sense, because God has instilled in me that there's a place I need to be at, that I need to say something to somebody or to do something in a way like that. And so that's part of it. You know, I've shared with you before, there was a time or two there back, we were, again, helping through what y'all give to the church. We helped some people with their light bills. It was back in the 1st of December. And I just thought, well, I never do this. I never do this. And I'm just like, I'm going to walk to City Hall. It was a pretty day. It was one of those 60 or 70 when I wasn't wearing an overcoat. I was dressed warm, so I walked. Well, that's the day that I walked by, and we've got a family out here playing basketball. And I talked to them. Well, that family has since attended our church and things. One of them back there tonight and things. But see, if I hadn't have went the back road and walked, I would have missed the opportunity. Because I'll tell you what, I would have got in my truck, and I went around in this way, and I would have missed them. I would have just, and if I was in my truck, I wouldn't have stopped. But God had instilled, you need to walk. And because I did that, there was that opportunity, so I stopped and talked to him. You know, it's the little times like that that we as Christians be the brother's keeper. Be that one that loves others. And it may be as simple as playing dominoes or anything like that. You know, those are activities that are important. So what is our tools here on earth actually producing? And look at it as what it's producing, I think, is key for us in this. The next section, verses 9 through 12, says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Two are better than one. When we're doing ministry, that's I think a key thing is that we go in pairs if we can and talk about it. But the couple and how it's organized that way is that we do it, two is better than one in things. And think about that as we're doing the ministry and things of coming together to help others. You know, when we're alone and we stumble, it's tough. I think sometimes it's having a mentor, having somebody that you're accountable for. That it's a Sunday school class that you know on Sundays it's going to be talked about, or the women's group, or whatever it might be, that there's something there. You know, and part of that is, hey, have you had your quiet time this week? Have you, you know, did you do it? And he said, oh, no, I forgot to do that. Now, have you read your Bible this week? No, I forgot to do that. Well, be accountable to somebody. That's where the two can come about and help with that. I think that's very important for us to do and think about going through the things of coming through that. You know, the show that I like so much right now is Duck Dynasty, and it keeps talking about how family is so important, how family and in that family businesses, they may have a disagreement, but the family sticks together. You know, it's kind of like Dad when I called him Billy Neal a while ago, and he didn't know who I was talking to. Well, you know, it's just hard for the pastor to say, Dad, would you pray? I mean, it just, sometimes I think, well, that doesn't always sound right. So I thought, well, I'll be, you know, official tonight. He was looking around. He didn't have a clue who I was talking about. Of course, probably because he thought there was three or four of us here that with that name. But the fact is you know, the family part of it in coming together. But again, you know, I think our prayer here at First Baptist is so key. And I think that's where we see the two or three together is so important. When you call me or something or one of you call something and get this prayer chain started and we go through that list of people that's praying. And I know Perry Lee gets so tired of calling me and she's telling me and I already know about it. But sometimes I don't. And I appreciate the phone call. And or if you leave a message and I don't return it because I've heard it and things. But the fact is that, you know, when people know that we will pray for them, they know that when we're called, we're going to start a prayer chain, that two or three are praying. Because God says, where two or three agree, I am going to do that. And so we know that that takes place. And so the importance of it. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know how a rope, if you put three together, is so much stronger. Well, the fact is if two of us are together and Christ is in our midst, we're going to have three. It's going to be stronger. The picture of the Trinity in that, and talking about the Holy Spirit. So the fact that we have the value of a friend, and the main friend we have is Jesus Christ. The friend that sticks closer than anything is Jesus Christ. But we need to have those people in our lives that can be there for them. You know, this week I've got a gentleman that comes every couple of weeks that's a pastor down in Wolf City, and this is his first pastorate, and he comes in, and he's usually got a lot of things going on, and he just needs somebody to hold him accountable and to talk through some things and stuff. So I have that opportunity on Wednesday to talk to him about that and things. But those are the key things we need to have in our lives. I think that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes is talking about here in these verses. Then verses 13 through 16 says this, better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be abolished no more. For he comes out of prison to be the king, and although he was born poor in his kingdom, I saw all the living who walk under the sun, and they were with the second youth who stands in the place. There was no end to all of all the people over whom he was made king, yet those who come after will not rejoice him. Surely this is all vanity and grasping for the wind. You know, it talks about there that better is a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be abolished no more. You know, I think sometimes we get to the point in our Christian walk, or let's pick on the preacher some more here, but we think we know all there is to know. I can tell you something. Every time I pick this book up, I find something new in it. You know, the passage I read this morning, I have read where Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit. I've preached the Gospel of John or taught through the Gospel of John 20 or 30 times. And this week, when I read that passage, it just grasped me. And that's why I said what I said about it this morning. A whole new enlightenment came in that one verse after preaching it and teaching it all of these years. And I've taught it to all age groups and everything. But the fact of what that means. But we need to be the kind of people that's willing to learn. That's willing to know that, yeah, we may have heard the Bible story, but we can learn from that Bible story. You know, I encourage young pastors and young leaders and things to ask questions, to find out how to do something. You know, if I don't know how to fix something, I'm going to go to find somebody that does and ask them how to do it and try to learn from them. Or why, I hate to just keep using myself for this illustration, but it's kind of like the study for 1 Corinthians. I've never taught through that, and so in a sitting like we're going to be doing it on Sunday mornings, but I've already started reading and getting different opinions about what that book says, because I can tell you there's some controversial passages in 1 Corinthians. There's going to be some discussions that we're going to have and talks that are going to be really deep. And so I'm reading all of the other ones, and I read one. I finished a book this week on the fact of the Assembly of God's theology of 1 Corinthians, mainly dealing with the spirits of the speaking in tongues and the gifts. But I want to see their view, because I can sit here and say I know their view, but if I don't read it, I can hear what people say, but what this gentleman's written is not what I have thought or heard local people that go to that denomination say. This guy and I don't have that many. He's actually quoting a lot of the people I'm going to quote and things. Now, he does sometimes fish around the corners with it, but and if you see one of my books like that, if you're ever in my office and it's got pages earmarked and red pencil marks all over it and big question marks on it or stars on it, it's because I'm either agreeing or disagreeing with what's being written. And I'll go pull that out as we get together. But that's what we need to do, and that's what he's saying here, I think, is the old king that's not willing to take any advice. You know, I know that feeding kids on Wednesday nights is... We've done something with the... I know Lenora tells us the story of when she used to have the after-school program. See, I can see this working into that and thing. And for all of those years, she and Fred took care of helping those, and some of the others of you may have helped, but I know Lenora tells me the story of how she did that back several years ago. Well, you know, she instilled in those kids, well, we're doing that again, and we're expanding that ministry through that, but we're willing to step out and do that. And as I've told you before, my prayer is that God would cause us to find somebody, and it's going to be a ministry, and it is going to be a challenging ministry that's willing to drive the big bus in town. Because when we do that, we're going to pick up a lot more kids. We're going to be feeding a lot more kids and things. But I just thank God, and it's going to take a special person, I'm just telling you, to drive that bus and things. But I just pray that God has got somebody out there that's going to take on that challenge and to do that. And again, I want us to remember, I feel like that our ministry is the city limits of Bells. I don't really want us to go out to the areas that's got the other churches at. Now, we're picking up the kids in Ambrose, but we've been picking up them ever since I've been here. And that church doesn't have a Wednesday night program. We don't want to pick up kids that could walk across the street, whether it's a country road or what, to another church. We want to pick up the kids. God placed First Baptist Bells right here or right out there on our property, wherever it's at. But Bells is our ministry, and we're within this city limits, and there is enough kids in this area that need us. Not that we're saying they can't come from others, but we shouldn't have to go get the others. They'll come to us and things. So I want us to see that and think about it, that we're looking at reaching those that are different and doing the things that are different and things. It's willing to reach out and do that. And I think that's what he's talking about, because surely this is also vanity and grasping. If we're not going to listen to ideas, I get magazines and I read them and I talk to Blake about different projects, and Blake is really good at thinking out of the box on trying to get ideas and tying mission trips with fun things and working on that. And so, you know, that's something that a lot of youth groups don't do. A lot of youth groups want to go do the fun things, go to the concerts and do all of that, but they don't visualize putting missions in that, letting the kids see how to do mission trip and how to help others, to show love to other people. And so that's what God is calling us to do, and I think that's what he's saying here in these passages, that, you know, popularity passes away. You want to see that, just think of that team with the star on it. You know, most of us, all of us in this room, we remember the real Cowboys. That's Tom Landry for those younger ones in here. You know, when that started, they were going to win. And then we went through when Aikman and them was quarterback, and we were pretty good there. And we ain't been pretty good lately. But my Aggies won. Somebody asked me this morning, was I going to get that in? So I got it in, okay? And I got so frustrated this week. Every time I went to Channel 12 News, it was OU, OU, OU. And I looked on my phone, and it said OU is playing A&M, and it's got the sticker that says the OU deal. 0U is what somebody calls it on the deal. All that's on the deal is that you look on the TV, on the app on my phone, and it's got that signal. Well, I thought, now maybe, surely, when they get a whooping like they got Friday night, we ought to get the A&M sticker on there. Nope. It does say A&M gave them a whooping, but it still got OU. I'm like, put the Texas A&M on there. We're Texas. You don't even stay within your own deal and things. Of course, I kind of rubbed some of them wrong this week. If some of you saw my Facebook, I've got a picture of Reveille. And for those of you that don't know, not from this part of the world, Reveille is a mascot for the Aggies. It's a collie dog. And she's sitting on Texas or Cowboy Stadium with looking at the graffiti. And I said, well, somebody's boys won. Knows how to win the big game. Because her boys won the big game. So, but, you know, the thing is, popularity is fleeting. That's what he's talking about here. It's like the wind. Church, it's really like what Dusty was talking about in his special. It's easy to draw big crowds, but it's difficult to change lives. God has called us to change lives. God has called us to love people and things. You know, you can fill up a stadium to watch a football game, and I love sports, don't get me wrong, but we can't fill up a church building to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I keep praying that, well, Sunday's like this Sunday, and again, it's not anything I did, but when we do the Lord's Supper, every time I walk into church, it says the same thing. Do this in remembrance of me. You know, if you want to go to a Baptist church, a lot of Baptist churches, the first Sunday of the quarter, you're going to have the Lord's Supper. That should be Easter Sunday morning every quarter. But we come to a time, and I'm talking to the choir, I know that, but it just breaks my heart that we say we love Him. The world says they love Him, but they won't come and celebrate the thing that we're to remember Him by. I mean, those are Jesus' words. It says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. That's not the preacher saying that. That's not the Southern Baptist saying that. That's Jesus saying, when you do this, remember me. And if we truly loved Him, if we have the peace that He's promised us, if we're new covenant people, we should be serving Him. We should be loving Him. We should be loving those that are unlovable. We should be reaching out to those that need to be reached out to. Because everything else is the vanity and grasping for the wind. What we are doing through the gospel presentation is the one thing that will last for eternity. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, I come humbly before You tonight. Father, I pray that as we realize the importance of us reaching out to You, Father. Strengthen us and guide us. Father, I'm heartbroken for our community. For a community that says they believe in God, but on a Sunday morning, the first of a new year, the churches are nearly empty. And Father, I pray that we would be a lighthouse to them and they would want to have the desire to come back as we agree here together to do that. Father, I pray for those that we've mentioned earlier and all day today that we've been praying for, the ones we'll be praying for this week. Father, guide and direct them. Continue to heal bodies and strengthen lives. Father, guide us and direct us in all that we do, that we glorify Your Son, in whose precious name I pray. Amen.